Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of the Not Another Internet Guru podcast. In this podcast, I'm talking to Cole from Etho Ventures. Absolutely amazing conversation. We talk about so many things: success, money, travel, what I think about college, and so many more interesting things. But before we get into that, I need you guys to do me a huge favor and go follow at Mary Juliet on TikTok and on Instagram. I'm going to link out to both of them in the description below. To somebody that goes and tags me in her last TikTok post and follows her, I'm going to give you a shout out on my next YouTube video and in the next podcast. She teaches a real estate success course, and she's one of the top producers in South Florida. So if you want to learn anything real estate, I would definitely recommend you go check her out. I cannot wait for you guys to listen to this podcast. Honestly, this might have been my favorite one yet.
My name's Cole. I am the founder of Etho Ventures. So Etho Ventures is a travel platform that you can find on TikTok, Instagram. The website's now up. And basically what we do is we take 10 guys, 10 girls for 10 days on these crazy adventures. So typically, like, it's not going to be COVID. So right now we're not really moving. You know, well, the way this all started is because I've been on all of these vacations where I've like taken people out. I've ran the entire trip and I never got paid for it. I just used other vendors. So I was like, you know what? I got to start my own. And of course, year one, we end up being right in the middle of COVID. But
what are the odds of that, right?
I know.
Like zero.
Yeah. So right now, like I'm currently a software sales guy. So I'm like work enterprise deals. So like majority of my day, I'm hustling.
Going through
like
the same deck over and over again.
Yeah, man. Like selling the Coca-Cola, you know, like that's what I do. And a lot of my, like my job was, I was on jets all the time. Like you have to fly in, you have to go to like present to like C-suites. And I mean, I'm just not really like, for me, I was like, I'm not getting the fulfillment that I thought I would.
It didn't do it. Now, in the beginning, did you find it exciting? Because like I did the same thing for Gary. I loved that in the beginning, but like 3 months into it, I'm like, yo, what the fuck, man? Like,
dude, like when I started making real money for the first time, like I just listened to some of your other pods. And, like you had one of the things you said, you're like, yo, I had a condo where it was like, had all the glass windows.
And beautiful. Like, beautiful.
Man, I'm a vision board guy. I love a good vision board. Mm-hmm. So I had a condo on a vision board. I had like a brand new truck on a vision board that I always wanted.
A truck.
I technically wanted a Toyota Tacoma, like a brand new one, but uh-huh. I ended up getting a Chevy Silverado.
Gotcha.
I just did it up. It was all blacked out. Like it was just my thing, you know? I'm from the country. Yeah. I'm from the country, but like I was in the city and I was like, I want to feel like a little piece of home. Uh-huh. So that was it. So man, like all of these things came true. Like I got the condo. We were on the 32nd floor. Like people come in, first thing they do, like videoing
outside, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. And I'm like, man, like this is like not that fulfilling. I was like, I thought this is what it was. It just isn't, man. It just really, really isn't. And you know what? COVID just punched me in the face. I was down in the city. I'm sitting there in my condo, running my normal day-to-day sales calls from my laptop. And I'm like, fuck, like this can't be it. Like,
yeah, it's depressing, kind of, right? It's like
the worst. You know all about it, probably. You're not in that condo anymore, I'm assuming.
Nah, so I got out of there, and so now I'm in a situation. I'm like, all right, like, what do I want to do? Like, where do I want to be? I could kind of be wherever I want. So right now, I'm like fighting the good fight between, like, all right, I'm in Florida right now. I'm in Palm Beach. So it's like, do I get a condo in Miami? Like, so I've never said this before. I really want to buy Drake's old condo on Biscayne that he always talks about. So it's, but I know that like, that's not going to do it for me. You know what I mean? Like that'd be cool to just be like, yeah, like I have Drake's old condo, but like,
man, it'll be like you get in there, you'll like send a few snaps around. You'll be like, this is Drake's old condo. Everyone that you think cares will be like, that's sick, Rob. And then 3 months in, you're like, fuck, this is an expensive ass condo.
Exactly. And then it's like, fuck, why am I paying a $10,000 a month mortgage? So I don't know if I want to do that. I don't know if I want to just get like a normal apartment. I go back and forth all the time. Like my brain knows I don't want to be in LA, but like my heart is like kind of like, fuck, dude, go to LA. And then Texas too, because Austin, Texas is like allegedly popping. I've never been there, but
dude, I just went there before COVID.
Oh, did you like it?
Okay, so have you heard of ACL?
No.
So Austin City Limits is like this big festival that they put on in Austin. Mm-hmm. And I flew, so this is why like my experience in Austin sort of sucked. So I flew in on the Sunday for with the my work, like we have a, it's called an education fund. So you get like $2,000 a year to like go and listen to a speaker, join like a sales conference, or like do some shit. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people go to, for example, Tony Robbins, like they'll go and do like one of his course things.
Yeah.
I went to this sales summit in Austin with a couple of the guys from work. Uh-huh. And we flew in on the Sunday night after ACL just ended. So like, apparently it was completely popping for like, four days.
And it's just like the fucking
the countdown, the whole thing. Yeah. So I'm there on Monday, Tuesday, fly out Wednesday, and it was dead, man. Like you, like there's just like raccoons in the streets. It was so quiet. But yeah, so like the city itself, I'm a big fan. Like if you're into, it's sort of hipster. Like I'm not gonna lie, it's not like you do not get the cowboy vibe in Austin, Texas. Like that's not what you're.
Well, that I don't want that. Like I want like the hipster, but like. I love this podcast because I say shit that I'll never say on YouTube, but like, I'm not trying to be around like broke hipsters or like hipsters that don't want to do anything. You know what I mean? Like it's cool to be a hipster, but like have your fucking bills paid, have your armpits shaved. You know what I mean? Like
exactly, you know? Man. Like like you shampoo, you know? Like,
yeah.
I 100% know what you mean. Like that's, and that's a great place for that. Like, I'm not going to lie. It's just like the pubs, like the cafes, everything is just like, kind of developed to not be mainstream. So
yeah.
It's kind of cool. Like you go out and you'll just be at like a random on a Tuesday night. Like we went out to this little pub and like there's these artists that we're seeing, like it's the Nashville of the South, I guess. And they're just beautiful singers. Like everyone's just living their dream, doing their thing. And like, I really like that.
So. See, that's fucking awesome. Like everybody's doing what they want to do. Not like it's fucking Oregon and like, you know, we're just going to take over the fucking streets or whatever they're doing there.
But. Exactly, man. Exactly. It's a good place. I want to go back when it's not on such a come down, but.
Mm-hmm. Was the food good and how were the girls?
Okay. So I'll answer that sort of, you know, together.
That's all I care about.
Yeah, because,
you know,
well a man's got to eat, right? No, but actually, so I went out to, they have this, it's the Texas barbecue. Have you heard of that?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like their famous thing, like a Texas barbecue. You sit down in like rows of whoever's at the restaurant. You're on like a big, long table. It's mm-hmm. like from where we went was like rows of picnic benches.
Yeah.
And well, I didn't know this. So up in Canada, like we don't have, I mean, someone can fact check me here, but I don't think we have a dry community where like you can't drink, right? So we get on this big ass bus and we go an hour out of Austin and we land in like some town that has apparently the best Texas barbecue. So we're like so fired up to have some beers, like hang out, eat some amazing Texas barbecue. We all sit down and the server comes over and they're like, would you like water or apple juice?
Like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Every one of us are like, yo, like I'm... Neither. Like, let's get the drink menu going, please. She's like, oh, this is a dry community, guys.
Are you serious?
Oh, man, it ruined the experience because, like, you need to be having a good time. Like, you need to be.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. So everyone was uptight. Like, no one was because we don't know each other. It'd be like, you know, meeting someone for the very first time.
Going that, on
like,
a first date and you can't fucking have a glass of wine or some shit. You
yeah,
know?
You're drinking apple juice. No, like, man. And everyone's just trying to like get through the dinner. But no, the food, oh my God, like incredible. It would have been like the experience is part of like the taste for me. So like, I mean, I'm going to give it like a 7 out of 10, but if we were able to have a good time, have a glass of wine, like red wine or like,
it would have been fucking fire.
Oh, 10 out of 10.
All right. So let me ask you another question. You're in Toronto, right?
Since COVID, I left the city because I went full remote. Everyone went full remote. Our office went remote. So now I'm 3 hours north in a place called Muskoka.
Gotcha. So like, do you get mad whenever, because from the United States, like Toronto, oh, like Drake, right? You know what I mean? Like, it's just the association. Do you get mad at that? Or like, no, like, what is your guys' relationship with when you think Toronto, what do you think? Because that's what people in the US think, you know?
Yeah. So again, I'll answer this in like two ways. So Drake has put Toronto on the map. Like, there's no hiding that. Uh-huh. Toronto has always been a city for us in Canada. It is the big city. Like, if you're saying, hey, I live in the city, it means
you're in Toronto. Yeah.
Right. It's like fourth biggest city in North America. It's huge. Mm-hmm. Right. And like, I think it has like 5 or 6 million people like consider the GTA. So like, I personally flew to Austin expecting a city. Like, it was like mouse nuts compared to Toronto. Like,
yeah.
Toronto is like massive, man. So it's more like it's a
New York City kind of like
smaller version of that. It's exactly like Chicago. Like if you go to Toronto, like you're kind of in Toronto. It's like the same shit. Got it. Buildings even look the same. So yeah, like Drake with his music really put us on the map because he kept bringing up the six, like bringing back the six, bring back the six. And then like the smart ass man that he is, he like went and started putting everyone on his label from there.
Yeah.
So like everyone just started like the weekend, like everyone started blowing up. And then you have Justin Bieber, who's from like 20 minutes out of Toronto, who's like another, like the biggest artist, obviously. In, like, the
world. I feel like he doesn't rep it though.
He doesn't, man. Like he doesn't. Like everyone kind of gets frustrated because we're like, bro, like he'll like post something and I know like where exactly where he is. Cause like he'll be on the cottage and like at his cottage, and that's where I live, cottage country. Uh-huh. And I'm like, I know that lake. Like I could definitely come on a boat right now and fucking drive over there and be like, why don't you rep Toronto? But at the same time, it is what it is. So here's how Toronto actually got put on. I don't know if you know this or not. You know Vince Carter. You've heard of Vince Carter.
Vince Carter. Basketball? NBA?
Basketball.
Yeah.
NBA. One of the greatest dunkers of all time. He got transferred to the Toronto Raptors in like, I want to say the 90s. Like I don't, you can fact check me again there. Uh-huh. And Toronto never had bottle service. So like bottle service wasn't a thing that this city had.
Really?
And he was used to turning up in like LA, Miami.
Yeah, that's what you did.
Yeah, and like hot chicks bring bottles to your table. So he comes up here, it's called the Carter Effect. So like he shows up in Toronto and like he goes to this club and you can watch this on Netflix, it's a documentary now, but he goes to the club and he's like, I like, why are girls not bringing us bottles? I'll throw cash out.
Like we need this to happen. Like what the
Yeah, because all of his boys from, he'll play like Atlanta and Atlanta will show up and he has like a bunch of boys there. He's like, I want to take you out and show you the city.
Yeah.
So he like personally bought like a couple bars and like turned bottle service into a thing.
Oh really?
So, like, yeah, man. So then what happened was all the guys would start, and Drake will say it, like without Vince, like there's no like Aubrey.
Nothing. Yeah, there's nothing. Yeah,
like he knows, like Vince Carter like set the stage for like Toronto entertainment. Like he turned that thing up. So.
That's crazy.
Yeah. So it's kind of cool.
It's crazy how like shit like that happens, you know? So like I lived, my really nice apartment was in Charlotte, and like Charlotte was, I'm from New York, so I'm used to like a huge city. Like when people say that they're from Charlotte, like that doesn't mean that they're from the city. That means they're from like within fucking 80 miles of the city, like downtown, right. You know?
Yeah.
So I was like, nah, like you're not, the same thing with Atlanta too. Like I went to college in North Carolina and people would have like Atlanta Braves tattoos and they're from like 60 miles outside the city. I'm like, yo, what the fuck? Like you're not from the A, you know? Like,
yeah, yeah.
What are you talking about? But the same thing where like, so I would chill, got really lucky. I would chill with like all the people on the Hornets, the basketball team. And we would go out and like, it's such a small city that like they ran everything. You know what I mean? Like when we would go into a bar or into a club, they would buy out the whole entire VIP section.
Yeah, man. Like that's
$500
unreal.
A table.
That is unreal. And the thing, you're a tall guy too, right? And so you probably did, you look like you probably played on the team.
Dude, so you know who Kemba Walker is?
Yeah, of course.
All right. The first time I met Kemba, I dap him up. And I like got in with them because of a girl that I was getting with. So dap him up, whatever. And I looked at her. I'm like, yo, who the fuck's this? Because I was like 4 inches taller than him. I'm like, who the hell is this? But he was the only guy wearing real jewelry. Everybody else's shit was fake. And I picked up on that. And then he like hits me in the chest. He's like, you don't know who I am? I'm like, bro, my bad. Like, I have no idea who you are. Because I'm not in the sports. So it's like.
Yeah. So it'd be hard to know. But at the same time, it's probably like one of those moments where you're like, fuck, like I'm an idiot.
Yeah, I was like, oh, fuck, dude, my bad. You know what I mean? But then it was like funny every other time that I saw him. Like, yeah, what's up? You know what I mean? Like it made an impression on him. But
yeah. Yo, hey, so you mentioned you went to school. Like question for you that I want to know, because I know like I've listened to Gary many times and I know that was like your early roots was with Vayner. What's your take on post-secondary? Like, what's your take on university, college?
All right. So I had a very, very unique situation. So I'll start even behind that. So in high school, I graduated high school with almost a perfect GPA, like almost 100 GPA, but I was suspended a fourth of the time that I was there. Cause like it was just stupid. You know what I mean? Like, why the fuck am I here? Like I know the information, everybody. So the town that I grew up in on Long Island, like it's like golden handcuffs. Nobody leaves Long Island because like you could become a cop or a teacher and make $150,000 a year, you know? So like nobody wants to leave. So like all my teachers were all people that like went to my high school. So I would, I, imagine like a fucking 15-year-old. I'm like, what do you guys know? You guys have never left here. You know what I mean? You guys don't know shit about shit. So I had like a really bad relationship with school, I would say. Got in a ton of trouble. Nevertheless, went to school on a full ride for lacrosse. I honestly, if you're like trying to get an education, if you're telling me you're getting an education, I think that's a bunch of fucking baloney. But like to go there and hang out and find out who you are, I think that's a good thing. That wasn't my experience. Like I keep telling people like, yo, I think I'm going to go to like the University of Miami and like just fucking hang out, you know, like not care about school because I already make money and just hang out like because I didn't have a college experience. Like yeah. I was focused on work, but I don't know a single person. I know a handful of people, right, that got something out of going to college.
Man, I 100% agree with you.
You know,
like, yeah, like to double click on that, like there's a million people that I know that I've grown up with that all went to university, myself included. Uh-huh. And I think we just thought that we had to go because it's like the next step in life.
I did it to make my dad happy. So I graduated in 2 years too with a bachelor degree. So like, I like got the fuck out of there, you know, like.
You're in and you're out, but and then you're like, hey, look, dad, like here's a fucking
here's thing. My fucking thing. Let me do what I want to do, you know?
Like, yeah, he's like, what are you going to do with it? He's like hanging on my bedroom wall.
I've never seen my degree. I didn't go to graduation. I've never seen my degree.
Yeah. See, but the thing is like in the end of the day, I think what's typically happening and like, what is the trend that a lot of people are seeing is that the people who go on and like take risk and like make some shit happen, they're not likely the ones who got that ticket and used that ticket as their next step to their career.
No.
It's like the ones who like got in there, got a feeling for like what this bullshit is and realized like, this isn't for me. This is wrong.
Yeah, exactly.
And like, I mean, I don't know, like this is a weird one. Like Grant Cardone is like a hit or miss. A lot of people hate him. A lot of people love him. I randomly this morning heard this thing that Grant Cardone was saying. He's like, the London Real was interviewing him and they're like, would you send your kids to university? Because Grant's like not a university guy. He doesn't
agree. Yeah.
He goes, I'm going to pay for my kids to go to university, but only like 4 universities. And they're not going there to get an education. They're going there to meet the right people.
And then that's like, exactly it. That's 100% it. Like everybody I know that got a successful education, we would call it. It's like, nah, it wasn't an education. I was in a fraternity. My fraternity brother's dad owns Coca-Cola.
Exactly, man.
You know, like that's what, but so many people fail to see that like this whole thing is a people game. Like I'm in Palm Beach right now. Do you know anything about Palm Beach?
I just know it's a bougie area.
But. It's like one of the richest places in the world. If you want to be that person, girl or guy, because they're looking for both down here, you know what I mean? It doesn't matter. Yeah. Like, come hang out in places like this. You could go to the bar. Like, you will never catch me at the bar where I grew up. Because I don't fucking care what everybody else I know is doing. Like, I'm trying to go to the next neighborhood. Like, I don't want to live here. You know, I want to live in the next place. And it's that accessible. Everybody Absolutely. Wants to meet people. Everybody wants to be social. Like, again, I'll say it here because I can't say it on YouTube. Everybody wants to fuck. Like, go meet people that are who you want to be around.
Man, you said on one of your podcasts, like you go to the same place every morning for breakfast or whatever. It's like it's just the energy in there. The right people are in there. If you wanted, you could probably start a conversation with someone who takes to the next level.
That, and then like everybody knows me. I know the executive chef. I know the owner. I know the bartenders. Right. I'm a kid in there dressed. I don't dress like this. I wear the bandana sometimes. I always wear like typically like all black, no watch, no nothing. So I'm in here with people with $500,000 on their wrists. And they're like, yo, what's up with this kid? Like, what's this kid's deal? But it's a conversation starter. I'm not in there acting like an asshole. I'm not in there acting like anything. But like, oh, this kid looks a little different. Like, what's his story? And then everybody wants to talk to you.
Of course. In their mind, they're probably thinking this guy is something that we don't know. And that's kind of intriguing to them. They want to get to know you. Peel back some layers. Yeah, that makes sense.
It's all set up. You know, it's like, I just wish more people saw it like that and more people did that, you know?
Yeah. There's, I think in every community, there's usually like a little area where it's like, hey, this is where the people who have made a name for themselves sort of hang out and associate themselves to. But it seems like from the things I've heard of Palm Beach and some of your past interviews, it seems like that is just like a full-blown community of folks who have just like figured it out. Like my favorite thing you said was like, sorry, I don't know if it's like, I'm going to sort of butcher this, but you're like, when I drive home, I just look at like all of their houses. And like, I think like, what did they do? Like they must have
done. So I think two things. Again, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast. I'm glad that you said that. I think two things, right? Because obviously like even what's going on with TikTok right now, right? The up and down, the this and that, like, so many people look at that and just see it for what it is right now. Like, how many of those people are on the brink of going bankrupt?
How many of those people are on the brink of losing everything? Like, people just see everything for what it is right now. How many, like, the majority of them aren't even from the US. They came from somewhere else, came over here, started something, hustled, and did what they needed to do. And then the flip side, and I just started thinking like this probably like 3 weeks ago since the TikTok thing again, like, yo, how many of these people, right? Because to get something like that, you have to take a risk. You have to take some sort of risk, and it's never obvious.
Yeah, they did something.
By the time that it's obvious, the fucking opportunity's gone. And it's like, yo, if that guy's in that house and he was right about the opportunity he took, how many people were fucking wrong?
Yeah. How many people did you just like throw a dollar to?
Yeah.
Driving through the corner that tried to do what he did,
exactly. But
just were like 1% off from the formula.
Yeah.
And now they have nothing. It is crazy. It's a crazy thought. And I'm happy you said that in your pause, because it really is an eye opener when you really put it in perspective like that and kind of think like when you drive downtown Toronto, you're going to see like super wealthy people just ripping Lambos everywhere. And on that exact same corner that they're sitting on, there's like 8 bums who maybe one of them tried to do exactly what that guy did.
Exactly. And so another thing I do want to emphasize is like, because we've spoken a lot about like money, wealth, success, things like that. Like, it is no better, right? I want everybody to be able to understand that. Because again, I was so obsessed with like the condo, the this, that.
Dude.
Back in the day, I got it. It's no better. It's just different.
I fully agree. So at 22, I made my first 6-figure year.
Uh-huh.
And in that year, I'll give you a bit of a background. When I was 20, I dropped out of school. I dropped out of university and I started my own company. I built an app. We got an offer on the table from an investor in Mumbai for $300K.
Uh-huh.
The $300K offer was for 51% and basically control over the business. So we went back, we had a 4-person team. We had a shared workspace. We want an incubator. So essentially like what happens is like the incubator like funds us to continue going. We said no to his offer. Snapchat released Snap Maps. That's basically what I did.
Uh-huh.
So I built this thing. It's called Get Wired. Like, it's still probably in the app store. I don't even look anymore. It just pisses me off. But long story short, I said no. During that process, I met this man named Mark Estelle, who was like one of the early investors in our company, one of my mentors still to this day.
Mm-hmm.
So going forward, like, I was super bent on, okay, now if I didn't do it on my own, I need to go get like the experience that I felt like I lacked in that initial startup.
Uh-huh.
And then I'm going to try again. So like I met Mark Estelle, like I went in, I called him. I was like, dude, like get me into like sales, like get me into I want to come to the city. So like he found the right connections. Like I ended up working like at this place. I made my first 6 figures at 22. And mm-hmm. So I bought the condo, and on the vision board, I had the platinum Amex. I got the platinum Amex.
Oh, dude, I went crazy. I got 3 of them. I went crazy with that shit. When I found out I could get it, I'm like, oh, I'm getting this business for that business for this.
100%, man. I was like, I'm going to be credit rich or points rich, and I'm just going to fucking get my 200 annual credit. I'm going to be traveling everywhere. And you know what? So like, then I got the truck, and like, this isn't a flex to be like, oh shit, look what I have. This is a flex to be like, okay, look what I don't have now, because I got rid of it all.
Yeah.
Because none of it made me happy.
No, it doesn't. Like, it's just different. It's like, and I wish people saw that, because I see even my brother edits all my videos, right? And I hope he doesn't get mad at me for saying this, but like, I freaked out on him like 3 weeks ago. Cause he texted me and he's like, yo, I think I'm going to buy a Rolex. And I'm like, what the fuck are you talking about? You're going to buy a Rolex. Like, what's that going to do for you? You know what I mean? And I was just like freaking out. Yeah. I'm like, you don't leave your room. Like, all you do is fucking edit my videos and hang out with your girlfriend. Like, what do you mean you're getting a Rolex? Like, I don't know why people feel like they feel inadequate and then they want those things. And it's like, yo, that's not going to do anything for you anyway, man. Like,
but you see that every day, right? Like, so as soon as like COVID hit, like for me, it was, I came home and, have you heard of Jordan Peterson?
Yes. I just read his book, The 12 Rules of Life.
Okay, perfect. So John, one of the guys who bought into your accelerator that I have the podcast with. So we run a podcast called Live Twice by Etho Ventures. It's we're on episode 10 now. We haven't once promoted it. We wanted to stack 10 before I push
it. Gotta get the catalog before you put it out. Yeah.
Exactly. So we're probably going to push that next week. So I'm going to try to do some TikToks for that. Long story short, he is best friends with Peterson's son. So
oh,
like
really?
they're like homies. Yeah. Like, really
tight. He's from fucking Canada too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
Crazy.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the things like for me was like, I sat down and I took Peterson's course. So it's, I forget the name of it, but he has like this course where you write out like who you are, like what makes you happy, but you have to go deep. And it's like super, it's kind of weird, like, not gonna lie, like, I don't believe in a lot of that stuff. Like, I don't buy into like all the walking on coals at Tony Robbins. I did that, by the way. I went to London. I was like
sitting. What do you think of that?
Don't get me wrong, there's some powerful moments, but like the barefoot walking across coals, I got a coal stuck in my big toe and I got a blister and I wasn't supposed to get burned, you know? So yeah, so like I did these courses and like at the start of the year when COVID hit, I'm like, you know what? Like I really got to figure this out. I got to get rid of these like things that I think are cool that I own that makes me have some sort of status, because it really doesn't. It's just costing me money to constantly live in this condo, to constantly run this truck. Like I have like a very, my lifestyle, like I go out probably 3 or 4 times a week. Like we would be, when I'm living downtown, there isn't a night I'm not out, even if it's just for dinner. Like I go watch hockey, like go watch the sports. So like, it was just like, so COVID hit and reality hit. Cause I'm like, man, the world can like just snap off. And like now like, what do I own?
Now what?
Like I need to like figure this out. Exactly. So that's when I really started like with Etho Ventures and like doubled down on it. And that whole course with Peterson was like what gave me the idea. So that's sort of where we're at now. But yeah, I thought that was a cool insight
there. So you seek more, I'm going to guess, like connection with people. Like even just you saying like you go out to connect with other people. You're not going out to fucking go out, you know? Like,
yeah, man. Like I have a really close relationship with all my friends. Like I constantly want to make sure that we're spending time together. Mm-hmm. And that's like number one for me. And I find that like, if I would go out on a Wednesday with one friend, like I want to make sure that I see someone else on the Thursday.
Yeah.
And I constantly do that. And that's what I do seek is relationships. And that's why it parlays perfectly into like taking people on these trips, because I just know like my relationships are going to get expand and go.
You go so much deeper. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So that's like the whole, you know, basically premise around it.
That's fucking awesome. No, I relate to that a lot. That's like, that's all, because at the end of the day, that's all we have. You know what I mean? It's like.
Yeah, man. I heard this thing one time. It's like, if someone puts $1 billion cash in front of you or 1 billion friends that would be considered friends who really respect you, what do you take? And like 95% of the population takes $1 billion cash because they're like, hey, I can just go make friends with my money, but they're never real. And what those billion other friends do is they set you up to be a multi-billionaire because you're going to meet someone in there that's going to really push you along the way. So like, I definitely
a better experience, you know, what are we here for 100 years if we're fucking lucky? Like, so let me ask you a question. Have you experienced, this is going to go like really different from what we've been talking about,
man.
Any like death, like have any of your friends died or anything like that?
So in regards to being like super close to me, no, as in regards to a friend, yes, I have.
Did that impact you in any kind of way?
I was 16 and it made me really look at the remaining years of my life and say, I have to go all in right now. That was so short and so soon for him because he was the same age as me.
Yeah.
And it's not that he was just like a best friend. It was just like someone who I would be having a beer with like randomly, like on a four wheeler. Like I remember, that's like one of my last memories. It's like we're in the country right now. Right. And so everyone takes four-wheelers out and like goes for rides and like goes to bonfires. And like he was on the four-wheeler one time with me and like we're just having a good time and then he's gone, right? So like for me, it's like stuff like that where I'm like, you know what, I'm 26 now. And since then, 10 years earlier than, so yeah, like 10 years ago was when I had my first like, hey, I think I want to be an entrepreneur and like really go for it and push that. So, I mean, maybe that was what kicked it, but like, good question. Yeah, that kind of opened up some thoughts there.
Yeah, because I've dealt with that a lot, like several times. Like one of my best friends passed away when I was younger, somebody passed away, and then a really close family friend passed away. And it's just crazy because it's like, yo, like I watch these people stress out about this or that or whatever it is. And it's like, fuck, man, did you know you were going to be gone at 20? You know what I mean? Like,
no. That's crazy. So does that obviously like just add a lot of fuel to your fire?
Yeah, dude. I can't sit still. Like I got to be doing something, like at least not even like being productive, even if I'm not being productive, like really connecting with somebody. Like I don't like shallow things. I do not like shallow experiences. Like it has to be like going all in, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, dude. So I'll give you a little credit there on this one. So I've bought into like programs before. When I was younger though, like when I was 18, I remember I got sold on a pyramid scheme thing. Do you remember in the States of Vima? Do you remember that?
Nah.
Okay, man, you're lucky you didn't get involved. But
EMA?
V-E-M-M-A, Verve and Vima. It's like an energy drink, man. This, anyways, long story short, I was in university and like these people were just pushing, like all these guys from SDSU. I met like these people on a trip once from San Diego and they were like, it started there. And all these people were blowing up, like not gonna lie, their Instagram followers, they got like 20K, like they were like making money. They got the BMW for bringing on enough people, I guess. So I did it for like 30 days and I was like, fuck this. Like I had to go sell my mom. I sold my mom like some Red Bull just cause, or some Verve. Cause she
did
just
you
felt
feel
bad.
Weird doing it. Like, did you
so know weird, man.
The heart's like, yo, something's not right here. Like
so weird. But it was my first taste at like, you know, kind of starting my own thing. Like that I was fresh in university first semester. I was like, yo, I'm going to drive a Beamer around campus. Everyone can like, whatever.
It's gonna be fucking sick. Yeah.
So I start this company and like within a month, I'm like, I hate this. So going, I quit, like shut it all down. Going forward, there's been a bunch of like random little courses that I have tried, but never have I been like, that felt good to buy. I feel like if I don't, it's like $29.99. If I don't at least look at it and like dig into it, like what's $29.99? So when I saw YouTube, so this is how I found you. So I was, I started TikTok and I just was convinced that TikTok's the new wave. That I in 2013, if I used Instagram appropriately, I would have been famous on Instagram. Fucking.
Like you feel like you missed out.
100%.
You know you missed out. Yeah.
I know I missed out because I was like, I'm such a, like, I was so nervous to post. I was so worried about my reputation, so worried about the way that I would look. I'd be like, no way I'm fucking posting anything on here. And so like, I'll never forget one time I posted a picture with Santa Claus sitting on his lap at the mall thinking it's hilarious. Like, and it got 72 likes. I'm like, fuck, we made it. We got 72 likes. Like, let's go. This picture was funny. And that was in 2013. It was like one of my third post on Instagram. And after that, like, I just couldn't think of a better post to top it. So I started getting like shy and I just never posted on Insta. So I felt as if like when I started that last business, if I had used Insta appropriately and like had a personal following before I even launched it. So it's like, you can launch to like your mom and your dad, or you can launch to like the Cowboys stadium of 100,000 people.
Yeah.
Like, what are you going to get more sales? Like obviously the latter.
Exactly.
So, right. So with Insta, I like just didn't do that. And I started this business. I'm like, wow, I'm trying to like get sales from scratch. Like this sucks. Like this is really hard.
It does fucking suck. Yeah.
Yeah. So when I came across, so I started TikTok. So I'm like, you know what? TikTok is going to be a big thing. It's it's like when your mom comes home and is like, hey, your little cousin posted this TikTok today that your aunt was kind of concerned about. Did you see it? And I'm like, okay, now my aunt, my mom are both talking about TikTok. My little cousin, what does she post? And I just go on there. She's like doing something. It's not even bad. But like for my aunt, she's like, oh, like little Ariana can't be doing that type thing, you know? So I'm like, okay, everyone's understanding this. So I go on, I start TikTok. I get 1600 views on my very first post. I'm like, that's not bad. Like I 1600 views with zero followers, like no other platform can do that.
No.
And so I went on YouTube and I just typed in like how to like grow your TikTok, like straight up. Cause I'm like, I don't want to miss an opportunity here. I don't know how to use this platform. I can probably figure it out over time. That's a lot of research. I came onto YouTube. I saw one of your videos. And I remember clicking the video. Your energy, like the way you're pronunciating, like everything was just dialed in. Like you weren't like so polished to the point where it's like, this guy sucks. It's not like a Ty Lopez, like trying to take you into his fucking bookshelf in his garage. You're just like, yo, this is what you do. I go to your actual profile. You had a bunch of followers. I'm like, okay, this guy might be legit. I watch the next video. The next video I'm going down and I just halfway through, like you bring up this thing about like constantly responding to comments. So I'm like, let's see if this motherfucker responds to his comments on it under his videos. So I go and I leave a comment. You respond like, yo, I'll buy your shit. Like, what's the deal? And you actually responded. And like, I looked at you responding to everybody. I'm like,
dude, I was spending hours responding to people's comments.
Yeah. I understand why. Like that, for a person who is like very aware of not buying anything on the internet anymore. Like I feel like I grew out of it. I did it again. So I'm like, okay, this shit works. And then, hey, fuck it. What am I at today? 116K. I've been doing it for like 90 days.
That's crazy, right?
Yeah, man. And like to add to that, like I'm probably one of your worst clients. Like you tell me every single email, like, why aren't you posting more? Like do more. And I'm like, yeah, I know. Like I hadn't put the work in that others even have. So I'm assuming like if I really dialed it in, I could have even more. So
yeah, it's fucking crazy, man. It's weird that you say that. So I started off, I figured I'm like, fuck it. Like that's going to be my different. That's going to be like my, the variable that I'm bringing to this thing. Like, yo, I'm going to fucking respond to everybody. Like I'm going to respond to, still to this day, I respond to all of my DMs. I just started responding to all my YouTube comments again, because I am like totally convinced that I got way more views when I responded to every comment. Because again, it's like I'm building a one-on-one connection with people, you know? It's like, holy fuck, this guy actually responded to me. But
I agree so much. Like, so just, I listened to one of your podcasts earlier today before mm-hmm. we jumped on here. And it was with, I think he was 20 years old, Griffin.
Griffin.
Yeah, very intelligent dude. I love that pod. In there, I believe, it could have been the one before, but I do think it was the Griffin one. You guys talked about like responding to a comment or respond on TikTok and on YouTube. And as you continue, if you want to grow, like you need to buy into your audience. Like you need to like, have real
fans.
You need
to make them feel like they fucking know you. You know, it's like.
Exactly. So I've been slacking on that. I haven't been doing the best. So today, right before the pod, I jumped on. I have a video I posted last night that it got to like, it's at 50K now. It's going up. So like, I was like, let me jump in now and respond to everything. So I responded to everyone. And I have like 8 people responded basically right away. And in my mind, I was like, okay, I had those 8 people that I just responded to probably just became a fan versus just leaving a camp comment. Yeah,
they fuck with you, you know.
It was so easy. Like I would leave an emoji, like a crying face, for because we can't travel or like something, right? And like now they fuck with me, so it's like that's lit. Yeah.
That's like you have to build that one-on-one connection at scale until you can't anymore. Like it got to the point where like I started losing my mind. Even like seeing like negative comments and shit like that, I'll be the first person to say like. So I used to wake up every morning, clear all my comments, clear my DMs, and then I'd do it again before I went to bed. And like, yo, that would fuck up my day if somebody said something like, yo, your fucking t-shirt sucks or whatever it is. Like, that would really fuck up my day. So then I stopped doing it, but now I got to get back into it now.
Oh, man. Like, I only have 117, I think it's 17, I just looked. So 117K, and I get some DMs that I look in there in the morning, and I'm just like, I want to get on there and just like roast them back.
But yeah,
like,
I'm going to lose my shit.
I can't do that. Like, that's so unethical. Like, this is a business, an operation I'm running. Like, you can't just have me just coming at you. But so now what I do, I listen to one of your pods where you do say, like, I can't look it up in the morning anymore. I do that every time. So if I see a bunch of requests mm-hmm. or a bunch of messages on TikTok, I just wait till night when I'm relaxing. I don't have anything to do.
Yeah, you can't, because it's going to ruin your day. Unless you're a fucking sociopath, like, that shit's going to ruin your day, you know?
It does, man. And that's unfortunate. And it's like, I Gary Vee is the best, and so your skin's probably thicker than I even. He's just like, you know what, like in the end of the day, those people, I feel sorry for them, and that's what makes me accept the comment, because they must be in such a bad place.
Could you imagine, you know what I mean, like sending somebody some shit like that? Like,
no, man. Like, and sometimes it gets very dark. Like the comments, I'll read some of them. Like, whoa, like that was very unnecessary. Like, you did not need to go there, but it is what it is. I mean, that's. Hopefully they find themselves soon. They're all right.
Yeah, it's like some of the shit. It's like, what did you just say, man? Like, what?
Yeah, I know. Criticism is a sign of success. I want more. That's one of like the most famous lines that like all these famous people just manage themselves every day.
Because everybody, even like one of the first things you mentioned was Grant Cardone. And you're like, yeah, well, you know, a lot of people don't like him. A lot of people like him. That's why he's big. The same thing with Tai Lopez, because it's polarizing.
Yeah, it's like even the people that end up liking him tried to hate him. They're like,
exactly, yeah.
They're like, fuck this
but
guy.
This but like, he's go away, you know? It's like,
yeah. I've even on my own thing, like, I've seen people that have liked a lot of my stuff, never followed. Uh-huh. And then as like the months have went on, I see it finally follow. Because I know I've probably been on that FYP like 5 or 6 times with them. They're finally like, what the fuck is Etho Ventures? I don't know, but I got to follow it now. So
I got a real problem with people like that. So I'll have so many people, like big, big, big TikTokers, hit me up and be like, yo, you helped with this, that, the other. Like, don't post this. And I'll go look. I'm like, yo, you're not even following me, bro. Fuck you. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like fuck you. Like,
I know. It's like, you don't want to share any clout. Like, yeah, don't, like,
dude,
don't
get the don't talk out of here. You know,
yeah.
Like,
fuck yeah, you. Man. I had my first ever, hey, I saw you on TikTok. All right. I know you from TikTok experience. Like,
how'd you feel about that?
Dude, it was so weird. It was so weird. And, because if you think about it, Ontario only has like 14 million people in the entire province. Uh-huh. And my video, like, I have 5 or 6 videos about Ontario that have all got over like 1.5 mil views. So when you actually like go think about that, like a third of Ontario,
a lot of fucking people. Yeah.
Right. So like I'm out at this, I go down to Toronto, we get a hotel with that Amex card. You have to use your travel stuff before the end of the year. Right. Like you get 1 year, $200 yeah. a year or something. So I'm like, I'm not going anywhere. I gotta go. I'm just gonna go pay for a hotel downtown and go out for a night in like the bubble, see what it's like. So I go down there and I go out to this bar called Regulars, and it's like all like each booth where you get like bottles is blocked off with plexiglass.
Uh-huh.
And I see this like it's a guy, and I see him like looking at me like through his plexiglass. And I look and I'm like looking at like my friends, and like my friends that like I was with, like we're not the type to go out and just like pop bottles. Like that's just not, I don't,
yeah.
You know, I like to go out and enjoy a good time, but I'm not like a big bottle guy. Uh-huh. So we're sitting there like, why is this guy staring? Why is he staring? And I go to the bathroom and he comes in there. I'm like, oh shit.
Dude, that's the first place.
It's about to go down. Like, this is going to be a fight.
Like, oh, do I got to fuck you up right now?
Like, yeah. He's like, and like, we're at the urinal and like, he's won over because they're like, they're socially distanced. And he like looks over, he's like, hey man, I got a question for you. This might sound really weird. I'm like, what's up? I think I saw you on TikTok. Like, are you a TikTok guy? I was like, oh my God, I thought you wanted to fight. I was like, yeah, sometimes. Like,
So that's another reason I hang out in Palm Beach, because like nobody in their right mind is ever, even if they knew who I was, would never say it. And really? Like, I've gone out in other parts of Florida and fucking, I got followed home one night, like just weirdo shit. And I'm like, yo, what the fuck, man? Like I make educational videos. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, that's sketchy. That's where it gets like, now it's starting to become real.
Yeah.
The thing is though, you have quite a large following. So like, I would expect that as you continue, this is just going to ramp up.
That's my biggest fear. I do not want to be famous.
Man, so many people fear fame. I want it. Like, I would love that shit.
I want fucking nothing to do with that.
Yeah, I know. It's a weird position, because it's like what you're doing is just like, it is making fame, you know, that much more real. Like, it's you're putting, laying all, you've tossed the first domino, and like they're all falling towards fame. And it's like, I don't want that. So it's like, at what point do you like stop this stuff from falling? Pushing yourself right into Hollywood, you know, like, or right into LA.
I say all the time, I'll tell my friends all the time, like, yo, I'm going to hit 10 million followers and just delete everything and be like gone. You know, I'm be like, yo, yeah. I hit 10 million followers on social media and quit.
Yeah. Just this figment of the internet is like just gone.
Just fucking disappeared.
I respect that though. I respect that. I think that's a conversation that every guy has with themselves, is do I want, if I was rich, would I want to be famous, or would I rather be famous or rather be rich? And I mean,
it seems like I want nothing to do with it, just because like I really, really enjoy going out and like having nobody know who I am, you know, and just like, yeah. I love like the wonder factor, you know what I mean? Like, what the fuck's this guy's deal? You know, I love that. And I don't want people to like think that they know me. Cause even like, if you watch my YouTube content, even watching my YouTube content, now having a conversation with me, like, oh, there's different aspects to this person because he's a fucking person. He's not a monkey in a cage. You know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, man, I totally relate to that. Like, I get what you mean. Like, going out, just letting your hair down, be who you want to be. Like, don't let anyone sort of like take away from your night. That I think that's a very valuable thing to have. But the big thing that it comes with that is like, how do you do that without doing what you're doing and getting popular? So it's like, I mean, you win the lottery, or you like, you start some SaaS business where it just blows up and you don't ever need to be like seen in the public.
Yeah. It was cool to catch up. Fucking let everybody know, what's the website and then everything else that they could go follow you at.
Yeah, absolutely. So the website is ethoventures.com, just as it sounds, ethoventures. And when you get to the website, there's a cool little test you can take. It just goes through your messenger. So your Facebook messenger shows you exactly what type of travel person you are. And from there, we'll see if you qualify for an actual trip, because we take 10 guys, 10 girls for 10 days. And we want to make sure you're all somewhat alike, so we don't have a sore thumb in the group. And then if you want to follow us on Instagram, it's just Etho Ventures. Very straightforward. But I'd say the best place to follow us right now, outside of TikTok, of course, is going to be the podcast. So check us out on Live Twice Podcast by Etho Ventures. So basically, it's two lives. You got the one that you have your 9-to-5, your day-to-day, but then you have this other one that is your Etho Venture. And that's where you go find yourself and you go on a big rip. So dial into that. Check us out there. We drop all the itineraries for new trips. So the Whistler Winter coming up at New Year's, that's just got dropped. That's going to be uploaded on Monday of next week. Other than that, yeah, just can catch my email on all those platforms as well. If you want to
talk. I'd love it. Go check it out. I'm going to link out to all those things in the description of this too. And again, man, thanks so much for hopping on.
Rob, pleasure, man. Pleasure.
That being said, guys, thank you so much for listening to this podcast. I cannot wait to see you guys in the next episode. Again, if you guys are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, please give the podcast a 5-star rating. And if you haven't already, make sure you text me. I'm going to leave my phone number in the description of this video. Thank you so much.